Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Steve Vaughn also with me today. And today we're talking about, well, the importance of children, the blessing of children, something that the world has largely ignored. And actually, for the most part, the world does not like children much anymore. And I would say that the slaughter of 2 billion children worldwide since 1960 would be a good indication that the world has turned into a loveless place. The love of many has grown cold, as Matthew 25 would put it, or Matthew 24 would put it. Steve, here's a National Review front page article called The Missing Babies. It's an extensive article, some 10 pages long, referring to how modernity brought about a global birth dearth since 1960. The world birth rate since 1960 dropped in half. That's the largest demographic shift since the worldwide flood, and I've said that for the last 10 years or so. This is really extraordinary to see such a significant worldwide shift. Now, there have been shifts in demographics here and there in various continents, various countries over 6,000 years, but to see the entire world shift like this is really extraordinary. I'm not sure what this means eschatologically, but what it does refer to is that there is a gigantic demographic shift happening. If the world birth rate has cut in half in just the last 50 years, that is a massive demographic shift, certainly since the worldwide flood. The worldwide flood provided something of a demographic shift, right, from hundreds of millions down to roughly
eight.
Eight, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a shift, wouldn't you agree?
That was a huge shift.
But now we're dealing with another shift, and it's a worldwide shift in terms of the world's appreciation for children. And indeed, what happens, what's interesting about nations is that as nations go through these periods of time in which their populations decline, that typically means that they will become weaker and weaker militarily, economically, socially, in every other way. That is, we are looking at a worldwide collapse. In terms of the politics, the socioeconomic conditions of nations, we are looking at a worldwide collapse, and that's going on right now. So this is really extraordinary, and it's just come about in my lifetime since, 1964 when I was born, and I'm guessing you were born somewhere around 1964, Steve, as well.
Yeah.
Well, the missing babies, that's the question the National Review front page article is addressing. As it takes a look at the birth dearth, South Korea's birth rate down to 0.95, and a point that the article makes is that there has been a massive dip in just the last 10 years. So it wasn't just the steady decline since 1960, but also the last 10 years has represented the steepest decline. And demographers are trying to understand what the cause of this is. They're grappling with this, and the article does not come to a conclusive answer as to what the world has brought about this 10-year slide. In terms of birth implosions, the last 10 years has been awful since the last worldwide recession of 2007-2008. And South Korea now down to 0.95, and that society is about ready to be wiped off the face of the earth if it continues in this direction. And I know pastors and Christian leaders in South Korea very concerned because they're pretty much represent the bottom of the barrel, the worst-case scenario worldwide right now. South Korea, the birth rate is down to 0.95, down from 1.25 in 2007. China's birth rate, again, has reached new lows as of articles that came out just last week. China is down to 1.39 children per woman, down from 1.58 in 2007. The U.S. has had actually the most significant slide in just the last 10 years. Now the U.S. is all the way down to 1.76, down from 2.1. In 2007, America's drop was larger than South Korea and China's over the last 10 years. So big changes happening worldwide, and certainly in the last 10 years, modernity brought about a global birth dearth. The worldwide birth rate dropped in half in the last 50 years. And the explanations offered by this article in the National Review were accessibility to convenient birth control. Of course, adulthood has been delayed largely by college education technology since 1960. So college education pushes off marriage until 29, 30, 31, 32 in many of the advanced nations around the world. And also, the sense of duty to future generations, to a future civilization, has largely disappeared. The idea that we have to replicate ourselves, the idea that our nations or our churches or the faith must continue from generation to generation, that ideal has largely disappeared, according to this article in the National Review. We're going to actually interact with this, though. We don't think that the National Review has nailed the issue as they should. There's more to say about it. To better understand the zeitgeist and what's working in the minds and the hearts of the masses, even those attending churches today, we're going to interact with this article in the National Review next on Generations. Stay with us. This may be the most important little conference in the year 2020. Folks, we are facing the largest worldwide multinational persecution in the history of the Christian church right now. Christian families, let's introduce our children to the Christian life, because it is through much tribulation that we shall enter the kingdom of God. Now, this conference is to be held in Victoria, Texas, and it will increase awareness of the persecuted body of Christ. Space is very limited, but registration is free. By the way, the first 30 registrants will receive a copy of Taking the World for Jesus. Register today at SouthTexasBibleConference.com. That's SouthTexasBibleConference.com. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn also with me today as we talk about the birth dearth and this National Review article that covers this massive decrease in the birth rate worldwide, especially over the last 10 years. That's what's got the experts befuddled. They understand something of why the birth rate has decreased since 1960, but what in the world is happening over the last 10 years? That's the question that's being dealt with in this article. Now, the article fails to realize the power of ideas. I think this is the main thing. Oftentimes, people are trying to look for sociological explanations, but they don't think in terms of ideas. And Steve, I think we need to come back to ideas. You know, what are the ideas? What is the zeitgeist? And I would say it's John Paul Sartre. That's a chapter in my book, Apostate, one of the key chapters, because John Paul Sartre in his existentialism was so defining of movies, not just Woody Allen, who, you know, really tried his best to characterize the existentialistic ideas of John Paul Sartre, but also the entire motion picture industry. I'd say 96%, 98% of movies dip into existentialism, at least to some extent. And so the motion picture world, the mass culture has popularized John Paul Sartre, unlike any of the other philosophers, even more so than Darwin and Marx. I think John Paul Sartre is a big reason for the zeitgeist, the self-orientation, myopic sort of existentialism that so characterizes popular culture has really kicked in the last 10 years. So that's one point. You know, I mean, man is encouraged to think in terms of himself. And of course, as he thinks in terms of himself, he isolates himself. And so there's this massive isolation that goes on in terms of this existentialistic way of thinking about ourselves. Also, there's the cheap and easy way to circumvent the curse that came by the fall. Women can still have sex and avoid the pain of childbirth. You know, remember the Lord God came into the garden and said, okay, women will have a problem with childbirth. It will be a painful thing and such. So what women have come to realize is by way of scientific technology, they have been able to avoid the pain of childbirth, and men can also avoid the sweat and the tears and the thorns and thistles, you know, so they're real excited about that too, because they can avoid working hard by women doing the work and by socialist welfare programs, which kicked in the last 20, 30 years. So all of that socialism has really helped to circumvent the curse. Technology, governments have enabled the circumvention of the curse. It's all very wonderful, all except for the fact that they had to abort 2 billion kids. The worker-to-retiree ratio has gone into the toilet, and Social Security, of course, in almost every nation around the world will be completely gone in 2050, and the debt-to-GDP ratios are three times what they were in 1970. Other than that, everything's great. You know, everything's going great. Nothing can possibly go wrong. You know, do you really think that we can circumvent the curse in the garden? Have we really checkmated God? Did we beat God on this one? You know, do we beat God's pronouncement of 6,000 years ago. Do you really believe that? I mean, can anybody believe that? Can you believe that, Steve? That you can beat God on this one?
No, God knows exactly what he's doing. But I think one thing needs to be stated, because you're throwing out these numbers here, but the replacement rate, the minimum, bare minimum for an industrialized society like the United States or like China or somewhere around there, the basic bottom line is you've got to have 2.11 children. That's the smallest rate just to replace your society. And so when you're going into these numbers of saying, you know, the United States is at 1.76, that means our population is declining. If you're looking at South Korea at 0.95, they're declining rapidly. Singapore, I think at one point was 0.83, and Italy was like 0.89 at one point. And it's gotten to the point where governments are saying, we'll pay you to have kids. We've had governments that told them, we'll pay you not to have kids. You know, don't have kids, don't have kids. And now they're realizing that their society is on the decline, even the United States. 1.76, we're not even replacing ourselves.
Yeah, so these are the reasons. I think these are the worldview reasons why societies are doing what they do. Worldviews have consequences. Ideas have consequences. People live out their worldviews. So if you've got an existentialistic worldview, don't value children. You don't value the future. You know, Americans live in houses that are twice the size with half the kids they had 75 years ago. What's that tell you, Steve?
Yeah, they believe that the size of your house is what's important, but not the size of your family. And so they want, and I've, when we were looking for a house, we were looking for places with a, you know, like a big backyard for kids to play in. There's no yards. You know, there were TVs in every room. There were, you know, hookups for computers and TVs in every bedroom. So you're isolating your kids. Mm-hmm. And if you even have them. And so big houses with few bedrooms and no yard. It means I don't want a family.
You know, if someone says, you know, I want half the kids and twice the drywall, what does that mean? I think what it means is they like drywall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just they're in love with drywall, you know, but apparently kids not the value. So I think, you know, people live out their values. They live out what they want to do. Even phileo love, that is, you know, basic familial love, phileo love has pretty much dried out, especially if you've killed 2 billion children, or here in America, 100 million kids in the last 40 years. If you killed that many kids by abortifacients and abortions, you know, the love of many has grown cold. But the article is really asking the question, why the dip in the last 10 years? Technically, this was a time of economic recovery from the Great Recession of 2008. And what befuddles the economists is that during times of economic recovery, you typically get a little bit of a bump on your birth rate. That did not happen this time. Instead, you had the birth rates just sink into the toilet. And so that's where things are now. Now, here's my guess on it. My guess is that the isolation of modern man, that is the existentialistic hell is other people worldview of John Paul Sartre, kind of went on steroids in just the last 10 years. It was not so much in the message, but in the mode. I think it was the mode that took over. It wasn't as much the message. It wasn't the Woody Allen movies that did it as much as the iPhones. The mode itself made an impact on the millennial generation. It was a mode of isolation. You know, you sit there and you interact with fake human beings through an iPhone, through texting, or through Facebook or Instagram. That's isolation on steroids. Of course, pornography is the ultimate. Pornography, the increase in pornography in the last 10 years has been outrageous. We're talking asymptotic increases, where intimacy without personality, void of all relationship, is the ultimate Cain wandering in the wasteland east of Eden. So that's where we are today. The last 10 years, Steve, I think has been an isolation of modern man, unlike anything we've ever seen in human history. So the iPhone came out 10 years ago, and that radically affects birth rates. Facebook, Instagram, the other social media outlets have turned the whole world into a self-centered, isolated, narcissistic cul-de-sac. And social media has managed to displace real relationships with a mass-produced pseudo-relationship for a pseudo-society in just the last 10 years. I mean, all of that really came to fruition in the last 10 years. Isn't that right? The iPhone came out, I'm going to say, what, 2007?
Somewhere around in there. Yeah, I think they're looking for all of the sin and none of the consequences. That's really what it's all about. So I can get my pleasure. It's all about me. I can get all the pleasure that I want, no consequences, and then we all just are going to die anyway. And, you know, just like what John Maynard Keynes said, you know, what happens if you're all wrong? Well, everybody's dead. And they don't believe that there's any consequences, no afterlife. So why not eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die?
So it's sort of a short-sighted hedonism that takes place, and immediate satisfaction for the individual that matters in the moment. And that's pretty much it in a society that's lost a vision for any future. Here's a few other things that have happened in the last 10 years. Again, society has seen massive birth implosions in just the last 10 years, and demographers are trying to figure out what happened. Well, something happened in the last 10 years, and it certainly was the isolation of modern man. So we saw that isolation went on steroids in just the last 10 years. And the universal acceptance of homosexuality, I think, also has sterilized a society. It was Obergefell that came out in 2015. Most of the states had endorsed homosexuality in some way, shape, or form by that time. So between 2007 and the present day, over the last 10 years, what you've seen in every Western country, including now Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, et cetera, I think every Western nation now has capitulated as of the last couple months. So over 10 years, it was an all-out effort to destroy human society in the Western world by the universal acceptance of a form of sexuality that doesn't reproduce and effectively sterilizes a society. It doesn't just pervert sexuality. It ruins sexuality. I think that's something most people have forgotten. It trashes God's design for sexuality, for a society. And that's just happened over the last 10 years. So these are the things that have happened the last 10 years to result in a worldwide birth implosion of what we've seen most recently. Also, one more thing that comes to my mind, speaking of college. College is a thing that has pushed off marriage rates. At least it's one thing that pushes off marriage rates. And that is college debt has skyrocketed in the last 10 years. I think it's gone exponential from $0.5 trillion to $1.5 trillion nationwide in the United States. So college debt, I think, is another part of what sociologists are calling a major factor in the declining birth rates over the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think also just the I think you've probably touched on this, but the just the attitudes even of the generation before this, with all of the free love and all of that, I think is finally coming full circle. That that was what their ideology was. They've passed that on to their kids. Their kids are now supposed to be having kids, and they're saying, you know, why? What gets me also is that you've got all of these, you know, the teachers' unions and all of that. They're so for pro-choice, and then they complain that we don't have any kids in the class. Well, you killed them all. That's why there's no kids in the classrooms, is because you encouraged people not to have them, or if they got pregnant, that, you know, they abort them.
Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I think that principle does apply. You know, the whole attitude towards marriage, towards family, towards children has got to be soured. The well's been poisoned by previous generation, the divorced generation of the 1980s and 1990s. The divorced generation soured so many kids on marriage itself. So of course, the shack-up rate was 10 times or 20 times what it was in 1970 as of the last few years. Well, let's wrap this up, friends. As the Word of God tells us as Christians, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. You know, the world passes away with its lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So let's keep that in mind. You know, I don't want to get too down in the mouth of what's going on with human society, Steve. I want to avoid that, you know, because that's not our world. This certainly is not our world. We live in a different world. We come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. This is not our values. It's not what we believe. Now, the Christian church has largely borrowed these ideas, and to that extent, we want to call the church to repentance. We want to see that the Laodicean church and the church at Sardis and the church at Ephesus, these churches are see that they have capitulated to worldly ideas. And we want to see that they come out from among them. They leave Sodom. You know, they don't look back like Lot's wife did, but come out of Sodom, repent, and follow Jesus. Now, what does the Bible say about birth control for Christians? And we address this from time to time on the program, but again, I'd like to come back to the basics on this. Of course, we avoid abortifacients. For certain, you don't kill your children or create hazardous conditions for a child in the womb by the use of chemicals. You just don't do that. But what does the Bible say about birth control? I like to bring these verses out from time to time, Steve, because this is what the Word of God says, and I think we need to be living out the life of Christ and the Word of God. The Word of God needs to come alive in us and such that it affects our lives and the way we look at everything, the way that we live, the way we have our children and such. Luke 14:27 says, whoever does not bear his cross, this is Jesus speaking, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So, yeah, we are to deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily and follow Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. Deny yourself. You know, that's John Paul Sartre turned inside out. You know, John Paul Sartre doesn't say deny yourself. John Paul Sartre says, put yourself in center. Put yourself at the center of all of human existence. That's what John Paul Sartre says. But Jesus says just the opposite. Jesus says, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Follow me. So that's what the Word of God says about birth control. 1 Timothy 2:13, Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived, fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. It's interesting that the woman was cursed in childbearing, Steve, but she will be saved in childbearing. It's interesting.
Yes.
That contrast made in 1 Timothy 2:13. So that's what the Word of God says about birth control. She shall be saved by childbearing. 1 Timothy 5:4, therefore I desire that the younger marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And of course, Psalm 127, behold, children are a heritage for the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. 1 Corinthians 15:8, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's what the Word of God says about birth control. 2 Corinthians 4:10, we always carry about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So as the Apostle Paul says, yeah, we're dying to ourselves, but then our dying is to the benefit of the children that appear in our homes. We minister to these children. Yes, these children are born and these children are nurtured over our dead bodies or over us dying to ourselves. So that's what the Word of God says about birth control. Well, people say, well, what in the world does all of that have to do with birth control? Well, it has everything to do with birth control. Just apply these verses to your families and you will know what Jesus wants you to do with birth control. So, you know, we don't want to tell you. We just want you to read the Word of God and apply it to yourself. If you're doing everything you can to avoid the cross, you are not following Jesus. You're following John Paul Sartre, you know, following the other worldview. So that's what the Word of God says about birth control. So, Steve, we don't want to make this too complicated. We just simply want to bring in the biblical word and then trust that the Holy Spirit will apply the Word of God to families, and they will begin to deny themselves, take up their cross every day, and follow Jesus. And do it with hope. Do it with rejoicing. And do it with a sense of faith and love, true love, self-sacrificing love, the same kind of love that Jesus applied when he was crucified on the cross for us. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Friends, I'd encourage you to our little book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand the zeitgeist, the worldview concepts that have so affected the mind of the modern and have, of course, slipped into the church and deceived so much of the visible churches out there today. So I encourage you to our little book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, better understand these ideas, but also you might take a look at our book, Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality. That little book has something to say about birth control and abortion and some of these hot-button issues of the day. Keep the Faith on Sexuality, also available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.